We are transitioning right now between the study of the book of Romans we just finished up last week and be transitioning until April 17th, which is Resurrection Sunday. And we're going to have a resurrection celebration in this place. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be so awesome. And I just want to remind you to be inviting folks to come. Maybe some who used to come and decided not to come because of COVID or whatever else. But we want to come together as a church body and just celebrate Jesus Christ on that day. And so I'm going to encourage you to invite people to come. There's some good things that are going to be happening. At 10 o'clock that morning, we're going to have a breakfast downstairs for anybody who wants to come and fellowship around the table. And then we will start at 10:45 right here in the worship center. And Aaron and Melissa Weil will be here to do music for us. I'm so excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. And they're going to just worship God through music. And then I'll have a very brief but straightforward message that I'm going to bring on that day about our Savior and our Lord. And then afterwards, for the kids, we're going to have an egg hunt out in the back in the beautiful grass that will be growing by then. And we're going to be looking forward to that. So invite people to come. You know what? If you don't invite somebody, they won't know to come. Right? So invite somebody. I mean, think about it. Even now, you could write down a name on your handout this morning and say, you know what? I need to go home and invite this person. It would help out to remind you, because if you're like me, I know I'm supposed to do something, but what was it? And it takes me a while to remember what it was. And then my wife tells me what it was. So anyway, let's make sure and look forward to that day. But Genesis chapter 35 today, we're going to be looking at a passage, verses 1 through 15, that is very instrumental. And you might not even realize how deep this is until we actually get into it. But it's just another amazing time that God shows himself through God's Word. He does that over and over and over again. And I'm just so blessed to be able to be here and share with you what God has to say. Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 15. Let's just read the top before we get into it of your handout. Have you ever just wanted to hear the Lord speak to you? Maybe you're tossed between certain decisions, or you just need to hear Him so you know He's there. The Lord is always speaking. But the problem is, we're not always listening, are we? We need to be listening. So Genesis chapter 35, beginning in verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of your foreign gods that you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come and let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me wherever I've gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. And then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. And there he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel, so it was named Alon Bakuth. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. And the land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at that place where he had talked with him. And Jacob set up a stone pillar at that place where God had talked to him. And he poured out a drink offering on it. And he also poured out oil on it. And Jacob named this place where God had talked with him, Bethel. Father, I come to you today and I just thank you and praise you for the beautiful pictures that you give us in your word. Pictures that help us to see and understand and know what you're saying to us. And Lord, today I just pray that as we go through your word, that your word will speak to each of us in a way that only you can do by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm not going to be able to say anything that you can't make come alive, because I know, Lord, your word is alive and it's active and it speaks to us. And I just pray, Father, that you'll speak to all of us, including me today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, there was a call to this place called Bethel. Now, before we get into that, let me just draw a little bit of a picture for you. Go back a few hundred years before this, when God was speaking to Abraham. It was actually Abram at the time. And he told Abram that he was going to make a covenant with him. Now, this was very terrifying to Abram because of this. A covenant meant that what they would do is they would take animals and they would split that animal in half and lay one on one side of a ditch and one on the other side of the ditch, and allow the blood to flow down into the ditch. And then as a sign of their covenant, like we do when we make a covenant, we sign a dot on the dotted line or whatever. What they did was, each person who were entering into this covenant together, this contract together, would walk, pull their robes up, and they would walk the blood path between the animals, signifying that they would keep their side of the covenant. And if they didn't keep their side of the covenant, what happened to those animals deserved to happen to them. Now, that's a very sobering thought when you see these animals that are cut in half, looking into the bottom of a deal, and you know that God is on one end and you're on the other, and you know that if you walk this blood path and you don't keep your end of the agreement, this is what deserves to happen to you. But you recall what God says: I will walk the path. I will walk the path for you, Abram, because you can't do it. You can't keep your side of the covenant. God knows we that have sin in our lives, which is all of us, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, we deserve to receive the punishment of our sin. But, oh, God said, no, I will walk the blood path for you. And so that's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly what we'll be celebrating on April the 17th, and we're actually celebrating it today and every time we meet together. Jesus walked the path for us. He took our punishment for us. He shed His own blood. And aren't you grateful for that? So with that picture in mind, God comes to Jacob and says, now I want you to go. The place where, by the way, later God had spoken to Abraham, says, now I want you to go up to a place that I will show you, and I want you to build an altar there, and I want you to make a sacrifice on that altar. Well, guess where that place was? That place was Bethel. That place was later to become the place where the temple was built. That place was later to also be the place where, on a hill right beside the Temple Mount, Jesus Christ would die for our sins on the cross. Now, folks, there are no coincidences in God's Word. Every single thing that's in here is there because He wants us to understand and realize it. So God comes to Jacob, who is also in this line of Abraham. And he knows and he understands that he is to be following God, but in the course of life, things happen, right? The scripture even tells us that many times in our lives we get bogged down with the cares of this world. And there are bills that are due, and there are things that must happen, and I've got to get the kid to soccer, and we've got all these things that weigh upon us, and we think, how can I keep my mind and my heart focused on where it needs to be? Well, let me tell you this. You'll either stay focused on God or He will get your attention. Has He ever gotten your attention?
Yeah. It's a lot better that you just walk in Him. I can just tell you that by experience. Because there's sometimes I get so busy doing what I think is so important, then all of a sudden God says, whoa, wait a minute, big boy. You're not even close to where I want you to be. And He allows something to come into my life to make me realize my mind and my heart is not focused where it needs to be. So basically that's what's happening with Jacob here. There was a call to Jacob to go to Bethel. Have you heard the call, by the way, of God? God calls out to everyone. God is calling all people to come to Him. In fact, every person that you know right now, God is calling them to Himself. It begins at a very young age. I'm amazed how many children I've talked to through the years. I can't even number them. How many children I've talked to, and I ask them a simple question, do you believe there's a God? And every single one of them say, yeah. You know why? Because it's built within a person to know that there's a God. You know, God has to take a point in each person's life to draw them into a realization that He's really real, and there needs to be something that changes in our lives. Have you heard the call? It's really meaning a personal call. Every single person needs to hear the call of God. And nobody else can hear God for you, by the way. Nobody can come alongside of you and say, hey, listen, God's calling you. Well, I haven't heard anything. The fact is that every person will stand before God. Every person will give an account of their lives. Every person. No one can respond for you. Nobody can hear for you. God is calling for you. I've known some people who came to church with their families, and they spent in church all their life, so to speak. But nothing ever really changed in their life. They just did what they thought they were supposed to do, so they went to church. And they thought, well, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to make a really bold statement here right now. God would rather you not even come to church rather than to come to church just because you think that's something you're supposed to do. Why we come to church is to worship Him and to study His Word and to encourage each other to what? Go outside the walls of a building, because that's where the church really goes to work and affect the people that are around us. God is calling you. He's calling your name. Every person is born with a place in their heart that's just for them. God is a personal God. He loves you. And so because of the call that was upon Abraham's life, God made a house call to Jacob. He came and He saw Jacob and He says, listen, I want to tell you something. I want you to go to a place that I will show you, a place called Bethel, and you're going to make a sacrifice there. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? It's exactly what Abraham had to do with his son Isaac. God is calling for you. He's a personal God. He was a personal God to Jacob. He was a personal God to Abraham. But He's also a personal God to anyone who will come to Him. So have you heard the call? Have you heard God call you? Have you heard Him speaking to your heart? Has there been a point in your life where you feel that tug of God towards Him? So the second obvious question is this. Have you responded to that call? You might be here today and say, yes, I did respond to that call. And I know God loves me and He cares for me and He died on the cross for me and He paid my price, my sin debt. And I responded to that by giving Him my life. But I dare say there's many people who've heard the call but yet have put Him on hold. Don't you hate getting put on hold, by the way? Especially with an insurance company. One of the things that I do is I do some insurance calling for a company that I work with, and that's, you know, it's not the highlight of my day, I can just tell you that, because many times I'll get put on hold, and then I get to hear the same song over and over
and over again. And, seems like 10, 15 minutes later, but I've waited as long as 45 minutes late. After that, I say, I'm hanging up. But, I wait and I wait and I wait. But you know what? When God calls, He just wants to talk to you right then. And yet people put Him on hold. Yeah, Lord, I'll get to you. I know you're important and I know I really ought to talk to you, but there's a lot of other things I want to do. And, I'll get to you, Lord. Can you imagine putting God on hold? Have you responded to the call? Listen, folks, let's be clear. It's a personal response that God is looking from you. He's looking for a personal response. It's not church attendance. It's not a religious activity that God's calling you to. It's none of that. It's none of those things. It's a complete acceptance of who He is. See, because God doesn't want you to be a religious person. He just wants to make you right. Right with Him. And no one else can do this for you. You can't put your wife on the phone. You can't have somebody else stand in for you. God is calling you. Nobody else can do it for you. And remember, Scripture tells us it's not by works. It's not anything that we can do well enough to please God. It's simply by faith and God's grace. So here's the two questions. Have you heard the call? Have you responded to the call? God called Jacob. What did Jacob do? He responded. He heard God and he responded. So God told him, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go to Bethel. Verse 2 tells us that. He said, but first, before you do that, you need to clear out the things that are impure in your life, in your family's life, in the people's life. You need to clear it out. Your servants, everybody that's with you, anybody that's going with you, there needs to be a time of purging, of getting rid of the things that hold us back. You know what, folks? I think if we were really honest with God, we'd have to say, Lord, there are some things in my life that are holding me back from doing what You've called me to do. You see, those things will entangle us and they'll keep us from doing what God wants us to do. They'll keep us from being the people that God called us to be. And so Jacob took the spiritual lead and he began speaking to the people. You see, folks, I believe it's time for those who lead to really lead. It's time for those who are supposed to be listening to God, which is all of us who know Him, to actually start leading. You might say, oh, that means you, Pastor. Well, listen, folks, I need to be listening to God all the time. No doubt about it. But so do you, because you pastor your family. You pastor your friends. You are the ambassadors. The Scripture says you are now therefore God's ambassadors, as though God was making His impression and speaking through you. It's time for those who lead to lead. It's time for those who hear to respond. Now, I'm just telling you this, folks. If you hear the word and then you put it aside, what's that going to do? Not going to help anything, is it? Let me kind of put it this way. If somebody came to your door, knocked on the door and says, hey, listen, I want to do something really special for you. You don't even know me, but I want to do something really special for you. I want to pay off every debt you have. I want to buy you two brand new vehicles. I want to come in and completely refurbish your house and make it exactly the way you want. I want to give you all a new wardrobe. Everybody's sitting there thinking, man, that would be really cool, wouldn't it? But you know what the bad part about that is about 30 years from now, all of those things will be back to where they are right now. Those things are temporary. They come and they go. But God wants to do a work inside of us. He wants to change us. And it's time for those who hear God's call to respond. Is God calling you? That's not really the question, because He's always calling you. Are you listening? Are you listening? In fact, make the question very personal. Put your name in it. Is Rod listening? Put your name in. Don't put mine. Put your name in there. Are you listening to God? At the crossroads of this very day is a choice. The gods of this world, which includes me, or the God of all. We all have to decide, are we willing to turn and go to the place that God has called us to go? Are we willing to change? Are we willing to do what He's calling us to do? And that is the question that Jacob had to answer in his own heart, in his own life. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Each one of us has to make this choice. You see, every day you get up and you have to choose what you're going to put on, right? Hopefully you choose something to put on. And how many of you guys, let's just be honest, how many of you guys have a favorite shirt that you like to wear around the house when you're doing work and all that kind of stuff? Yeah? Is that shirt really attractive to your wife? No, it never is it? They're always going like, "Why do you keep wearing that shirt? It's got holes in the elbow and you got one slit right down the side. And, you know, can I just throw this away?" And you go, "No, don't throw that away. It's my favorite shirt." But the fact is, we've got to determine, I'm going to take off the things that are really not going to be of any eternal value in my life. Got to get rid of them. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, love that word, because of what he had just said in chapter 11 on the whole chapter of faith, walking by faith, giving yourself as an offering to God. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by all these people who walked in faith, and he'd listed out all these kinds of people in Scripture who had heard from God, and one of them, by the way, was Abraham, one of them was Moses, multiple different people who heard God and said, "Yes, I will do what you say to do." He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all these other people who've been faithful and done what God called them to do, let us throw off everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles us. Instead, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Now, I always want to just stop there and just let us kind of melt into that thought. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Do you think that was a joy for Jesus to die on the cross, and He who knew no sin became all sin for us? Do you think that was a joy? That wasn't the joy. The joy was, by doing what He did, He was giving to anyone who would come to Him eternal life. Life with Him forever. He endured the cross, scorning the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now let me just tell you something, folks. You might be in a situation where you say, "Well, if I try to lift up Jesus, if I try to talk about Him, people are going to, you know, they're going to call me a goody two-shoes, and they're going to call me a holy roller," or whatever you want to come up with. But you know what? You could be called a lot worse. You probably have been. But the fact is that, listen, we're not doing this so that we can be liked. We're doing this so that He can be exalted. We're living this life for Him, keeping our eyes fixed on Him, because He did the same thing for us. The joy that He had was on the finished work of the cross and not on being on the cross. And I can tell you something, folks. When Jesus was in the garden before he was arrested and taken and terribly beaten and put through all the stuff that he had to go through before the cross, he wasn't going, man, I can't wait to do all this. It's going to be so much fun. He was instead in the garden praying, Lord, if there's some other way, please take this from me. But not what I want, what you want. It's time for a spiritual house cleaning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We got to clear out the gods of this world. Verses 19 through 21 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles that are not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes. Some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. I remember growing up on the farm, my grandmother, she didn't have a whole lot of things. You know, as farmers, you weren't able to accrue very wealthy things. But the one thing she had was a set of plates in the cabinet in the dining room that were very special plates that her mom had bought for her. We never used them. They were always there. And she'd always say, no, we're not using those. Those are for very special occasions. And so we always ate on the old plates. And all, you know, the things that were cracked and had been through all kinds of stuff. But those plates were right there in the hutch. And you know, man, they looked beautiful. And they were always in such, you know, such good condition. And you think, why don't we ever use those? I think many times God might look at us and say, look what I've done for you. I've taken you from what you were and I've made you my child. Now use this for me. Use this for me. Time to get rid of the old stuff, the bad stuff, the things that weigh us down, the things that are of no good for us. We got to go through the house and throw out the stuff that's not of Him. We need to clean up. Not only do we need to purge and clear out the house, we need to clean up the things that we do have. This is totally an act of total repentance. Repentance means I'm going one way and I choose to turn around and go the opposite way. Are there things in your life that you've loved more than God? Now before you say, oh no, there's nothing that I love more than God. Well, if you love God more than anything else, it does make sense that you do what He calls you to do. If you really love Him with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, then you'll do what He says to do. So let me ask you a question. How many people this week did you share the gospel with? Because didn't He tell you to do that? He did. Whether you know that or not, He did. He called us all to be His ambassadors, to tell people about Jesus. How many people have you done that with? We can say one thing with our mouths, right? But what we do really matters. It's an act of total repentance. Are there things in your life that you've loved more than God? Your job? Maybe it's your children or family. Maybe it's some of your possessions. It's that 401k nest egg that you have put away. Whatever it is it your prominence? Is it what people think about you? Are there things in your life that you love more than God? You say, Pastor, you're stepping on toes right now, but let me just tell you this, folks. I'd rather step on your toes than to not say anything and allow God to speak to our hearts, because my toes are bleeding right now. To get back to Bethel, you must get rid of the idols. That's what Jacob did. He went to the people who had, by the way, along the way, had started accruing some idols. Now, why would they do that? Well, you know, these people that we got the idols from, they thought that they were important. And they have some value to them, so we're just keeping them. I mean, is that a bad thing? Yes, it's a bad thing. Because what God says is, you shall have no other gods before me. To get back to Bethel, you must get rid of the idols. God doesn't just want to be present in your life. God doesn't even want to just be prominent in your life. He must be preeminent in your life. He doesn't want a part of you. He doesn't want most of you. He wants all of you. He deserves all of you. He deserves all of me. He must be preeminent. Any other place, we are idolaters. In other words, we put something before God. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I would never purposefully do that. But you know, by keeping things that are really important to you, that God has told you to get rid of, you're saying that very thing with your actions. Actions speak louder than words. God knows our hearts. We need to clean up and purify our lives. One of the reasons some people might not listen to us is because they look at us and the things that we do and go, oh, you say that God's so important to you, but I see you doing this or this or this. People are, they're critics. There's no doubt about it. And you might say, well, I can't be perfect. No, but He can. And if you allow Him to live through you, then they'll begin to see Him rather than you, which is the whole purpose. Clean up. Thirdly, we must cast off everything that we know is not of Him. That means right now, in your personal life, when we repent, we take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. In other words, we say, Lord, I don't want my way anymore. I don't want to go my way anymore. I don't want to keep walking this direction anymore. I turn and I walk with You on the course that You have for my life. And I want to walk in Your righteousness, in Your holiness, in your joy. I want to live like You live. I want to love like You love. His holiness and His righteousness is now given to us when we accept Him as Savior and Lord. And so we then must appropriate it and use it so that people can see Jesus in us. What did Jesus say about that? He said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll what? I'll draw all men unto me. You see, we are all covered by His blood. We're made clean. We are made new. The Scripture tells us and reminds us of that over and over again. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our mortal body. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:21, just four verses later, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the what? The righteousness of God. So that when God looks upon us, He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our faults. He doesn't see all the things that we've done to hurt Him and to hurt others. What He sees is that we're covered by the blood and He sees us as pure and clean and right. Folks, that ought to make you want to jump and shout. We've been transformed. And so as God was speaking to Jacob, He was reminding him that this is what's happening to anyone who will come and to the Lord. And so He says, now this is what I want you to do. When you get to Bethel, I want you to do something for me. Look at what it says in verse 3. Chapter 35. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me everywhere that I have gone. You know what? This is an action that Jacob was going to do because he knew God was real. There are a lot of people that
It's mind-blowing to me. There are a lot of people in this world who do religious activities over and over and over again because they think that by somehow doing these things that they're going to be okay. And I have sympathy for them in my heart. Because I can tell you, I've had multiple pairs of people come up to my door, knock on the door and say, "Hey, we want to tell you about Jesus Christ." And if they don't know who I am, I kind of just humor them for a little bit and let them talk. And they start trying to share with me that Jesus was the first man who God allowed to get into heaven. And that every person who can become just like Jesus can have their own kingdom to rule someday. And you might understand where I'm coming from that. But I just let them talk for a little while, and then I just ask them some scriptural questions. Oh, by the way, some of the scriptures that they've deleted from their Bibles. You see, folks, the reason that we need to understand and know this is because we've got to do something about our relationship. They're doing something about their religion. And their religion is growing. And Satan's so excited about that. And I'm not saying that every person that's a part of every religion doesn't understand and know who Jesus is. But I can tell you this. The devil is trying to muddy the waters as best he can, and he's doing a really good job of it. Let me just be clear. Jesus Christ is God. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He came to live so we could see what God was like. And then He chose to offer Himself up in our place to pay our sin debt for us. And that's what He did. But He didn't stay dead. He paid for our sins. But He rose again. He's now seated in the heavenlies. We need to take action. We can't just know about these things. Because to know about it and not do it, the Scripture says to that person it's sin. If you know these things and don't do what you're supposed to do with them, then it's sin. We must do what we know. James chapter 4, verse 17 says it like this. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. We got to take action. We also have to give attention to what he's saying. Now look, this is interesting, and I want to show you something that's just going to, hopefully it's just going to blow your mind. But God does everything that he does for a reason. Look at verse 4. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and all the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Jacob buried the idols. He buried the idols under a tree. Oh, by the way, in this place called Bethel, a few hundred years later, all the idols of every single person were also buried under a tree that Jesus Christ was hanging on. In the same place where Abraham had made his sacrifice and God had provided a ram. You remember that? So that his son didn't have to die. God says, oh, by the way, a few years later, I am going to let my son die for you. He will be the ram. He will be the lamb that shed his blood for you. In that same place, on a tree. Many years later, Jesus hung for you and for me, with our sins buried there forever. Guess what? Scripture says those sins will be remembered against you no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Listen, folks, if He could do that for you, what can you do for Him? Should you do something for Him? Look at the adoration, verses 5 through 7. So then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon them, the reverence of God. In other words, they weren't afraid of God coming and smashing them on the head or something. It was like, oh man, God has spoken and we need to listen to Him. We need to do what He says. We can't mess around anymore. It's just interesting to hear this. The terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. In other words, they said, hey, they're heading out. We could go attack them and take all the stuff that they have. But everybody was afraid. You know why? Because God was with them. God was with them. I can just tell you this. God has been with people so many different times when they should have been crushed, when they should have died, when they should have lost everything that they had. God stepped in. He took care of them. He provided for them. That's the way God is with His children. He loves us so very much. The fear of God fell upon all the people around them. And the focus on God grew. By the way, even though they left that area and went to the place where God told them to go, everybody that lived in the area where they left realized that God was real. See, true worship is seeing God as He really is. It's time to come to Bethel. It's time to come to the place of God for all of us. Individually and corporately, it's time for us to truly worship Him. Now folks, worship is not just singing songs. I'm so grateful for the opportunity that we got when we gather together. We have people who can lead us in worship. But the fact is, it's not just singing songs. It's literally worshiping the one that we're singing the songs to. When we sing, are you singing so that you can remember the notes and look at the words? Or are you truly just singing to God? He wants us to truly worship Him for who He is. It's time to come back to Bethel, the place where God speaks. And oh, by the way, the word Bethel, when it's translated, means the place where God speaks. Do you want to live in Bethel? I want to live in Bethel. I do. I want to live in the place where God's speaking all the time. And then I want to listen and do what He says. If we are going to make an impact in our families, in our communities, in our jobs, in the places where God has allowed us to be, we've got to start let God speak through us. We can't be silent anymore. We've got to speak up. You might say, well, I don't know exactly what to say. Why not? I've heard people say that all my life. Why not then? Why don't you learn what you ought to say? What's keeping you from it? You can't make excuses all your life and say, well, I don't know, I'm not really good at talking to people. Guess what? It's not you that's supposed to be talking anyway. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. He can do a great job. See, because people don't really care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care. They want to know that you care about their lives. They want to know that you care about their families. They want to know that you care about who they are. Folks, we've got to come back to Bethel. The place where God speaks. Are you willing to go there? Truly willing to go there. You better be honest with God. Because if you say you are and then you don't, it's not good. Not good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning. And I just pray that as we prepare our hearts and our minds for the day that we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on April the 17th, that we will have an army of people who are ready to share
the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, change our hearts and our minds. It's not about a procedure of knocking on a door and throwing in a Bible and going in and saying, you got to hear this. It's about loving people the way you've loved us. It's about caring about them. It's about showing them the love of God. That's only going to happen when we repent of our own ways, of our selfishness, our own desires. We've got to give up those things, Lord, and turn to You and allow You to fill us to overflowing with Your living water and allow that living water to spill over to people all around us so that they see it and know it and it's real and they'll want it. I know they'll want it, Lord. Help us. Become more and more made into the likeness of Your Son. Everywhere He went, people came. Not necessarily just because He was healing the sick. Not necessarily just because He was making the blind see again. Not even the fact that He raised someone from the dead. I dare say they came because they realized this is the Son of God. He's the only one who can help me. And everybody's hurting in some way. Everybody who doesn't know You, Lord, is hurting on the inside. And even though they won't outwardly admit it, they're hurting on the inside. And so some people call themselves atheists just so they won't have to deal with You. But they will have to deal with You. Because you can either call Him Lord now, call You Lord now, or someday you will kneel before, they will kneel before You and call You Lord because You are. Lord, I pray that however You're speaking this morning, Your Holy Spirit would move in the lives of the people that are listening. Whether they're online right now, whether they're here in this building right now, I pray, Father, You will speak as only You can speak and that we will respond. Lord, some here, some listening, might have said that they want to be Christians, but they truly never really given their life to You. You see, you can't be a Christian unless you make Jesus Lord. That means He's in charge and you're not. And so you have to decide, I'm going to turn from my ways and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to walk the way He wants me to walk and go where He wants me to go and say what He wants me to say. I'm going to abide in Him and I'm going to live in His presence. I'm going to allow His Holy Spirit to guide me in all the things that I should do. And I'm going to talk to Him all day long. I'm going to be in conversations with Him because He's real and He loves me and He cares about me. I'm going to do these things. It's not a religious choice. It's a choice to receive a relationship with Jesus Christ forever. If you've not done that, you can choose to do so today. You might say, well, I'm not sure I can do that. No one can do that on their own. But He will walk alongside of you every single moment of every single day that you'll allow Him to. And He will lead you in the path that you ought to go. And He will forgive you when you stumble and fall. And He will pick you up and dust you off. And He will walk alongside you continuously, showing His great love to you because that's what He does. He loves you so very much. Would you give your life to Jesus today? You might pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord, I need You. I've made a mess of my life. I need to know that my sins are forgiven and that I have You as my Savior and Lord. So Lord, today I give You my life. I'm going to quit trying to do this on my own because I can't. And I'm going to turn to You and I'm going to spend time in Your Word. I'm going to spend time with You talking to You in prayer. And I'm going to worship You as You deserve to be worshipped. And I'm going to tell people about You and how awesome You are that You would do this for me. And I'm not going to turn back, Lord. I'm going to walk in the path that you've given for me. For the joy that's set before, Jesus took on the cross. God has a path laid out for you as well. Would you receive Him? Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a place to be a part of, to join as a part of the body of Christ so that we can continue to reach out into this community that so many people are lost. So many people don't know about Jesus. So many people have heard the name and they may have even used the name. But they don't know Him. They don't have a relationship with Him. And we are His messengers. His ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal through us. So maybe you want to join with us to help us reach out into this community. We would love to have you as a part. But we're not looking to fill up a role with just a bunch of names so that we can say we have 5,000 people as a part of our church. Those are just names. They don't mean anything unless there's true repentance and a willingness to follow as a part of that. Whatever God might be saying to your heart this morning, my encouragement to you is to do it. Get up and go to Bethel. It's time. It's time. It's way past time. Because there are people every day losing their lives that needed to hear about Jesus. It's time to go to Bethel. Would you be a part of that? We're going to stand and we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. And as we stand and sing, I'm going to be here at the front. I'm going to encourage you to come and just share anything that God's put on your heart. If you want to be a part of this body, if God's calling you to be His child today, whatever it is, I'll be here to meet you. If you don't want to come in front of everybody else, you could slip out into the back foyer and Robbie will meet you there and he'll share with you how you can do that. Maybe you're looking for a place to plant your family, to plant you as a part of a body of believers who truly want to make an effect on this community. We would love to have you, but again, we're not just looking for names to put on the list. We're looking for people who are willing to go all out for Jesus Christ. But whatever it is that God's put on your heart, maybe you're here today and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you know that you really haven't been living for Him. You've been living for yourself. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at this altar and just confess to Him where your heart is. If God's speaking to you today, would you do something about it? Don't be hearers of the word only. Be doers also. Let's stand and let's begin to sing. If God has spoken to your heart, would you come?